A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
The right hand of the Lord has struck with power. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord.
the tomb he is risen. He has conquered death, opened heaven to believers.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture, that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. The Gospel of Easter from St. John presents Mary of Magdala going at the hours of the early morning while it's still dark. Significant in the Gospel of St. John because the darkness is symbolic of still lacking understanding, in a fog, somewhat perplexed, still struggling with the reality of what God is revealing. And it begins by showing us things that are unusual. No one goes to a tomb, especially the way Jesus' tomb was set and sealed, looking to discover that the stone rolled away. She was overwhelmed by this. She was startled and somewhat disturbed, obviously. She runs back. She tells Peter and John. They go, the foot race, as we know. The beloved one outrunning the older, the chief of the apostles, probably because of the love Jesus had for him, maybe inspiring him, but still in all he defers. He looks in but does not go in. He allows Peter to enter in first. And as they go in together, once they all are in there together, we are told he sees and he believes the beloved. But that term believes, as it is in the original Greek, it's saying that there's different ways in which it's expressed. It's believed that the way it's being used in this particular scene of the gospel, it's that John is beginning to believe. It's also interesting to note, we hear the term tomb mentioned 7 times in 9 verses of this gospel pericope, this section of the gospel of St. John. What are we being invited to consider? Well, first of all, we are being shown that the reality of what Easter presents us with was not something that was expected. Albeit Jesus predicted his death and resurrection at least 3 times as we look at the Gospels, all 4 Gospels highlight that Jesus disclosed what would happen to him in Jerusalem and that he would rise up on the 3rd day. It's interesting to note that it seems like the adversaries of Jesus, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, they were more cognizant of this, and they took more steps to prepare for that eventuality more than the disciples who were with Jesus from the beginning. And so we see it unfolding. Did they forget? Did they remember? Were they choosing not to remember? Overwhelmed, obviously, by the manner in which Jesus was taken away from us. A horrific scene, to say the least. When the Romans put somebody to death by via a crucifixion, you better believe they were good and dead by the time they finished with him. In fact, the book of the prophet Isaiah says that when Jesus, by the time he was nailed to the cross, he was not even recognizable as a human being. And so we are here today, following in the footsteps of those who've gone before us. Last night's gospel showed the women who were present to Jesus throughout most of his public ministry as his disciples, staying with him all the way through his tortures that led to his crucifixion, his being entombed and everything. They were there, they maintained vigilance, and they continued to be in prayer, pondering, mourning the loss of the one who has loved them. And then after the Sabbath, which was prescribed by the law, they were able to go. They go, still under the cover of night. And last night they experienced an angel appearing like lightning. The two guards, the centurions that were there set to stay watch at the tomb, they were like dead men. They were incomprehensible of what was going on. It was overwhelming. The angel told them, "You're seeking Jesus, the crucified. He is not here. Come and see the place where they laid him." And then they were instructed, "Go and tell his disciples to go to Galilee, and there they will see him." As they followed the instruction of the angel, they encountered Jesus on the way. And when Jesus encountered them, and when they saw him, they immediately adored him by grasping his feet. Remember, Mary always had seemed like a foot fetish when it came to Jesus. It wasn't so much a foot fetish as much as it was something that spoke of what the truth of the Psalms tell us. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Jesus, the embodiment of the good news, no doubt. No wonder she was clinging to his feet, particularly in the wake of all that they had witnessed the days before. So with that encounter, Jesus affirms the message, but he also confirms their obedience and fidelity to his word. And tells them, now you go and tell, not disciples this time, he doesn't say. He says, you go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The first time Jesus refers to his disciples, qualitatively, the change in relationship. Not just disciples, certainly not even friends, not even friends, but brothers. Jesus, in taking to himself a human nature, in pouring out everything he had from the Father, in his words, in his deeds, sharing the Eucharistic meal prior to the events of Good Friday, enabled them to be recipients of this miracle. Yes, the miracle of Jesus rising up from the tomb. They saw what we are invited to look at and see. In a tomb devoid of the body, but the trappings were still there. John, no doubt, wanting us to see this in relationship to what happened to Lazarus when he was called forth from the tomb. Remember, wrapped head to toe still with the burial cloths, Jesus instructing them, untie him, let him go. The fact that Lazarus came out as he did indicated that he would have to die yet again. But the fact that Jesus' linen cloths were there left, it also debunks the reality. Nobody, robbers of the grave, they didn't have grave robbers that went and take the body and leave behind those linens that were very costly. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus spared no expense in preparing Jesus' body for his entombment. The Gospels are very clear about this. He rose from the dead, body and soul. It was a miracle then and continues to be a miracle today, but one in which we all struggle to still understand fully what it means for one to have to rise from the dead. We are by no means at a disadvantage to the apostles, then the disciples, then, who had the privilege of being with Jesus in the human nature he assumed from the virgin womb of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit. We too are witnesses of all that has happened. We are the recipients of this gospel precisely because those who were with Jesus from the beginning were cleansed of their sins. They were strengthened, fortified in their relationship with him, as he himself told them beforehand, "They shall strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." The only one that remained at the foot of the cross to the very end was the beloved disciple John, whom, as we know, won the foot race to the tomb. But still in all, he too was just beginning to believe and to understand. What other miracles do we witness today? Let's think about the women who were going in between the event of the crucifixion to his burial to go and take care of his body. Think about the climate of the times. Think about the things that they probably were exposing themselves to, the ridicule, the dangers that might have been before them, and yet they didn't care. They were driven by love and regard for the one who has come to them as the God-man. They were willing to embrace it all. They didn't care. Their one focus was on Jesus. They have taken the body of our Lord, and I do not know where they placed him. How many of us, the human spirit, you think about those who are in health care, caregivers, palliative care, those who work with mental health and so forth, how they commit themselves to the charges under their care. Even though some people have illnesses or conditions that may never have a cure for them, and yet they still persist in caring for those people. They return over and over again. How many of our nurses, our doctors, overwhelmed with so many things, yet consistently their goal to their duty, they're attending to those people to the best of their ability, even though what they administer may not be able to reverse the circumstance that they are contending with. But yet they believe there is a significance, there is a value to that compassion, that love that they're investing in that person. Look at the things that we see today. Who doesn't like a good Cinderella story? We think of that in terms of sports. Wow, talk about Cinderella, the Lady Tigers of LSU. Nowhere expected to be anywhere close to a Final Four, much less the championship game. 9 new members added to the teams. Mulkey, all of the action, all of the talk, this way and that way. And by the time it was all said and done, hands being waved, "I can't see you. I can't see you." Oh, wow. Can't see you. And I loved it. When Mulkey was being interviewed afterwards, she was so overwhelmed with emotion. She says, and on a Palm Sunday, she gave glory to God. On a Palm Sunday, she acknowledged her faith. I was watching the Masters, but I couldn't watch it all because I was too busy trying to get ready for this great event that we're into right now. But I heard about 3 trees collapsing simultaneously on Good Friday. Do you think that was a coincidence? Not at all. 3 trees, one for Jesus and one for the 2 thieves, one on the right and one on the left on Good Friday. And miraculously, no one was harmed. Signs are before us all the time. Signs that point to something greater beyond that which we see. It always entails faith. It was a lack of faith and trust in God's word that caused the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. And it's necessary for us to express faith and obedience to the word of God in order for us to rise from the dead, as St. Paul reminds us. When we were baptized, we were born again of water and spirit. Today, we have the charge to look again at all that has been presented to us by those who were with him from the beginning, those who were clothed with power from on high, as we see Peter speaking boldly in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, following all of the events. Of all of them, Peter is the one who is most qualified incredible to be the witness, since he was the one who denied even knowing Jesus three times before the cock crowed on the night he was arrested. We have everything before us today to have courage and confidence in knowing that it takes time for us to accept the fact that the one who has loved us first and will always love us died and rose again on the third day so that you and I would have life to the full, not only in this temporal time, but for all times unto eternity. Let us be heralds of this gospel. Let us not be afraid. Let us move with haste. Everybody running this way and that way at the morning mass for the 7 o'clock mass. Deacon asked me, Father, what's wrong? Are you okay? I was breathing. He said, What happened? I was running. I said, I had to run. I was running. He said, it's appropriate, Father, it's appropriate, but I was still breathing. It takes your breath away. And yet here we are. The one who breathes life into us, who nourishes us with that same Eucharist that he gave to his disciples the night before he would die, enabling them to be able to stomach the reality of all that he said would happen to him. And after digesting it, they would now be able to be fortified, empowered, sanctified for the work of the gospel, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. God love you.